Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hello, dear listener. Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Tom Bickley from House 95 Guitars.
Hi, guys. How are we doing?
Hi. Hi, Tom. Lovely to have you on the podcast. Dear listener, yes, it's been a little while since we've done anything that's not us and our usual selection of hosts. So it's nice to do something with a guest. But the reason that we've asked Tom to come onto the podcast and have a little chat is because House 95 Guitars are doing something so interesting and different, as far as I'm concerned. And also because we recently had the very contentious but hotly anticipated release of the Tom DeLonge Starcaster from Fender, after I bitched constantly about the fact that they released a Stratocaster when he didn't even play the Stratocaster on their tour. I couldn't believe what they were doing. And of course, Fender proved to me that they knew all along, they were prepared for this by releasing the Starcaster. But anyway, we're going to get onto that later. Tom, you actually got hold of a bunch of the Fender Starcasters before launch, or just ahead of their launch.
Yeah, definitely. They were coming out on the 16th. A lot of retailers weren't allowed to sell them past or until that release date. Right. There was a couple of them that had got them that were happy to sell them to sort of like the diehard fans if you rang up and spoke to them, but they couldn't advertise anything. I'm pretty sure there was obviously stuff written into their retailer agreements to say as of this date, this time, they can't be advertised. But there was nothing to say that they couldn't sell them any earlier. So, I mean, like I say, I'm just a fan that likes building these, you know. So it's very much just a case of I rang around a couple of places that I'd order a lot from, and then I got three sent to me. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wonderful. That is very cool indeed. How did you feel about the, because we need to talk about what House 95 Guitars does, but before we do, were you expecting the Starcaster to launch ahead of this? You know, did you think Fender are definitely going to be doing this, or like me, were you just flabbergasted that they'd released the wrong guitar?
I guess from Fender's marketing perspective, it was really clever in the sense that they know everybody wants the Starcaster. There was a demand there in the community for the Strats to come back, or in some variation. But it was just, yeah, I think the Starcaster was like the ultimate goal. So then this is where sort of we fitted into it a little bit, was people wanted necks, people wanted bodies, people wanted all this stuff that they just couldn't get, or they wanted to modify their Squire. I wasn't shocked when they released that they were going to do the reissue, because I guess now all they've done is all the saps like me that absolutely love everything Blink-182, everything Tom DeLonge, were just like, oh, I'm not going to buy the Strat. I'll wait for the Starcaster to come out. And then I ended up with two Strats, and then and then I've still bought Starcasters as well. So it was, yeah, I think it was quite clever by them to do that. From a from a consumer perspective, I guess, like you say, it was a bit of like a, oh, come on, just give us the StarCaster and give us what we want, you know?
Well, the Strat does seem like it's being hammered in the shops at the moment. Prices are being reduced a lot, so I think they probably sold a lot less than they were expecting to. Of that model, but it was nonetheless.
I think it was variants of colours as well, though. So, like the you know, the classics like your daft blue and your surf greens and things like that. They were going to go. It's your yellows and your blacks that were the ones that I guess will sit around a bit longer.
Which I'm surprised at. The graffiti yellow Stratocaster just seemed like such an obvious choice. You know, there was he used it so infrequently, and it was such a cool looking instrument. I remember buying a Subsonic, which was a baritone Stratocaster.
Yeah.
Because it was the only Fender you could buy in graffiti yellow. I didn't want a baritone Stratocaster. I just wanted a graffiti yellow guitar at that point in time.
Yeah. I had the yellow one as well back in the day. So that, again, I guess it pulls on different heartstrings as well, doesn't it? So
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about House 95 guitars and what you do, because I did mention it, dear listener. I've spoken about this a little bit on the podcast after I met you, Tom, at Birmingham Guitar Show. I think it was the Birmingham Guitar Show where we met. And I remember checking out your brand before, and I was confused because it's incredibly niche. It's probably the most niche specific guitar brand maybe in the world.
Well, at least that's a cool thing to sell. So I guess how it started, how it's come to what it's been, I was just basically... I was posting loads of pictures of my guitars online. I sort of built them for myself, stuff that I loved. And my wife said to me, you need to stop posting guitar pictures on your personal Instagram because there's no pictures of the kids on there. So I was like, okay. So I set up a page just to post my stuff. And then within sort of a couple of weeks of doing that, I had people sort of reaching out like, where'd you get that sticker from? Or where did you get the stripes done? And because I've sort of made these myself because you couldn't get them anywhere, I thought, well, maybe there's something here. And then I started just doing little one-offs and little things that people had asked me for. And then sort of January of last year, it all sort of snowballed. Like I had some spare time, work-wise, and it was just a case of, right, well, let's put some time into really putting these sticker packs and things like that that are Tom DeLonge related. We also do like Billy Joe's blue sticker packs and things like that as well, and a couple of like Fallout Boy things. But again, it's all very Tom DeLonge centric because I guess he decorates all of his guitars and presents them in a certain way. So it was very much a, you know, the biggest receptor for these was the Blink-182 fan base.
Right. Yeah. Of course. So it started off when you started this, you know, guitar making company, you were just doing the sticker packs exclusively. That was the main thing.
Yeah, pretty much. So the stickers, and we did like we did some like clone pickups, like some of the like it, so they look like an Invader, they sound like an Invader, they're wound as close to that as they can be. But again, it's just sort of things to make your own without spending a massive amount of money. And it was sort of like the goal was always like, oh, can you turn a Strat into a Tom DeLonge Strat on a budget? Right. Because at the time there was no reissue. And it was like the original ones were going for like £2,000 or something silly. So it was sort of like at least give somebody the opportunity if they want to have a Strat that sounds a little bit like Tom's to sort of have that in.
I see. And I guess Squire releasing an affinity version of a Starcaster was probably helped quite a lot with the business model, because that was easy enough to, I imagine you could get some sort of vinyl cover for the empty neck pocket because they were double humbucker.
Yeah, correct. So it depends, I guess, how far you wanted to go into it. So some people wanted it to be filled, like wood filled, sanded as close to as what it can be.
So were people sending you the Affinity Starcasters and you were customizing them there? Oh, that's really cool. Right.
Yeah, so they were sending me the body and they'd say, like, fill the neck pickup, fill the potholes for me, redrill the new one. So it is just me. So I would do all of that sort of that body work and everything. I've done sort of painting as part of my background before. So it was sort of, it wasn't too dissimilar to what I'd done in the past. So I did a load of modifications on them, and then it was a case of like, oh, I want it to look like this guitar, or can you paint it this color, or whatever it might be. The Squire Starcaster is a great base for them, to be honest. We also created a sticker pack as well, which sort of lent on the side of the budget, where if you didn't want to be able to have to fill the neck pickup in, we had stickers and stuff that could cover all that for you, so you didn't have to do all the sort of very permanent changes if you didn't want to.
I see. I saw a few of those actually knocking around, like the people's builds after they're done. Yes. And they've obviously been done with a vinyl sticker rather than the fill. But nonetheless, Like when you consider that a Starcaster, an Affinity Starcaster, was a couple of hundred quid. I don't know what your sticker packs were, but you know, it's certainly not adding up to an awful lot of money to get something that looks very close to it. And have you, I guess with the sticker packs, because as soon as Tom moved to Starcasters, he had a massive range of them in a lot of different finishes. Were you able to keep on top of the bulk of those? Because he had his like awful Burberry one, which is was bad.
Yeah, I mean, we don't tend to get very many requests for those sort of ones. We do tend to get a lot of requests for like the Blink Caster, as they call it, which is sort of this design.
Yeah, yeah.
Something that's, you know. And we don't tend to build a lot of those, just because of like these are done for like display purposes more than anything. They're not done for customers, just because a lot of the stuff, as you probably gathered, I don't own the rights to Blink's logos and things like that. So I'm not going to go and try sell something that's not mine, you know? So, so it is very much a case of, we've done them. We can show that we're capable of doing them, and it's, you know, I think that's the thing, is if we can help enable people to then go and, you know, draw over a Squire Affinity as opposed to drawing over something too expensive, then, you know.
Yeah, I see. And then you moved on to introducing your own version of the Starcaster.
Right? Yes.
That was the next step in all of this, or did you make other? Did you do like Strat copies yourself first?
Yeah, so we've done some Strat copies, and we do a lot of like Tom's original guitar copies as well, like the replicas of like, so in like the video for Damn It that he did in what?
Yeah, the white Strat. It's an HSS Strat that he had around there.
Yeah, so we like the angled humbucker in the bridge and things like that. So we did a load of those first, and we did do some of like the Hurley Strat with the little Hurley sticker at the bridge and things like that. And we did loads of them. We still do a lot of the black ones as well, which are like the Boxcar Racer Strat with the stripe across, the white stripe. So we did loads of Strats first, and then obviously Tom moved on to the Gibsons, which is obviously this one, which is obviously a lot more difficult to offer in any way, shape or form, because
I was going to ask about that. Have you ever made a copy of that, or like, you know, made a version of the 333?
We've modified Epiphone 333s and done like the paint drips and things like that, but it's tricky because not a lot of people want to modify now an Epiphone, which is now apparently an £800 guitar, which is sold for £300 brand new. So not a lot of people want to modify that. So I get a lot of requests like, oh, I've got an Epiphone Dot Studio. Can you fill this in for me? Again, it's the same sort of thing as the Starcasters, because there was nothing there that was specifically single pickup 335 or 333 bodies. So we do get some of those. We've done probably two or three, but it's a lot more of a labor intensive paint process to do that sort of stuff than it is to do the Fender stuff or the right, Squire stuff.
Yeah, I imagine. Okay, yeah. So then you moved on to Starcasters.
Yeah.
And you actually made your own version of this, which I guess technically is more accurate to Tom's custom shop than the Fender release is.
I said it,
not you, so it's fine.
Don't ask me why Fender went down the road of doing sort of veering off from what Tom's spec was, because obviously Tom's spec, as you well know, it's satin finished bodies, it's satin necks with the Blink inlays in the neck, like roasted maple, but then Fender went a completely different way in the sense that you get the satin body, but the neck's very, very high gloss.
Now, this was a real weird thing for me because I'm a big fan of high gloss necks, but it's actually one of the reasons I struggle with Fender today is that they don't do high gloss necks on anything other than their vintage stuff now, which is fine because I'm probably only ever going to buy their, you know, Vintera series things and American original and American vintage, all that stuff. That's fine. But it's one of the reasons why I don't really like the professional, you know, the replacement for the standard. It's because I don't like satin necks. They feel a bit cheap to me.
Yes.
But I understand that I'm in a tiny minority and that the entire planet loves satin necks, and satin necks have become the absolute standard. And I tell you, a genre that, and I said this on the podcast last week, dear listener, but a genre that really wants satin necks is people flying around doing power chords. That kind of, you want a satin neck for that. So I was very surprised at this. I mean, I think it looks great, the Fender version. I love the, you rarely see roasted maple with a gloss. So I'm really into that as a look. But
ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There you go.
Look at that. That looks great. It's fantastic, dear listener. If you're listening, it's just a gorgeous, deep, dark, mahogany-esque roasted maple with just a proper. I almost wonder if the lacquer is vintage tin over the Bates maple as well, because it's just such a. It's got a real yellow twinge to it. It's lovely. It's the last thing I ever expect to see in Tom DeLonge's hands.
Yeah.
So odd choice, I think. But you've of course, they've also gone for dot inlays. You do the proper inlays that Tom has. Now, I imagine that is more a cost thing from Fender's perspective,
definitely,
than anything else. But so, you know, and that I'm not really too fussed about. That's fine. A production model has got to have corners cut from custom shop versions.
Yeah, just definitely.
One thing that absolutely isn't a corner to cut is I mean, if anything, it's more expensive to do a lacquered gloss neck. So that's just some weird stylistic choice by them. But you offer it satin.
Yeah, so we offer the satin necks. The gloss, I'm with you. I'm in that small minority. I love a gloss neck. One of my favorite guitars.
You're a Gibson fan, right? As a guitar player. Right.
Yeah, definitely. And that maybe that's why it is, because a Gibson's got like a paint finish neck, so like it's got that finish on there anyway, so maybe that's what it is. It's like when I pick up a Fender, that's sort of how the feel that I want. But one of my favorite guitars is a Simon Neil Squire Strat, because again, super high gloss neck.
It's a classic vibe, dear listener. If you've not seen it, it was literally it was another weird signature model from Squire, the Simon Neil Stratocaster. Now, despite the fact that Simon Neil specifically plays 60s custom shop Strats, they released a 57 style Squire classic vibe Fiesta Red vintage tint maple neck It was a thinner maple neck, at least, so it didn't feel 50s, but it absolutely looked 50s, and I have never seen that guitar in his hands. But
No, I think I saw there was one on Reverb, actually, recently, where it was the one that he used at Reading and smashed to pieces. So he must have maybe used it once. So.
There you go. Oh, that's good. There you go. But yeah, exactly. Yeah. That once you get used to the vintage gloss, it really feels like home. But
yeah, I mean, I guess going back to the necks that we offer, these are the neck itself. Obviously, you can see the inlays, the satin on the back, and then these are then roasted maple with clear satin.
I wonder if you have a lot of orders for those now that the Fender's out and about, for people who, because I really do think it will be a bit of a bone of contention for people. I think people are going to want a different sort of neck than the one supplied on the Fender. So I do wonder if you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I've noticed straight away that we've receiving a lot of is people want to maybe not modify it too permanently like that, but they want to sort of, they want the look without, yeah. And then we've offered them for a while, but the inlays, decals.
Inlay stickers, yeah.
Yeah, so they just sit over the top. And I've had, like I say, those have gone crazy since the launch, I guess, because if people want the look, but they don't want to change a neck on a guitar, then, you know.
Especially when you've just bought the guitar, you know.
So, I guess, yeah. And as you know, if you've just swapped anything around, necks are a tricky thing anyway, because you might, you know, I've seen it a lot on the Squires, you might take the neck off your Tom DeLonge Starcaster and it's shimmed, or, you know, and then is that going to be the same on the neck that you're putting on? It's a tricky thing to just chop and change.
So. Of course it is, yeah, absolutely. So pickup-wise, so this is somewhere where I haven't really sort of read up enough. I'm not aware. So we moved from the Invader on the Strat. Then Tom DeLonge went to the Dirty Fingers on the 333, which kind of, I really feel like that pickup became very synonymous with him. And you do a version of the Dirty Fingers as well. Is that right? So you do an Invader and a Dirty Fingers. What has he gone for now on the Starcaster?
So the Starcaster has a Seymour Duncan in it again. It has a SH5, which is a Duncan custom.
Right, okay. And so and are you making a version of that in the
House
95?
So we do something that's very close, which is what we put in ours at the moment, which is a JB clone. So it's very close. The custom sort of sits between, I think it's about 13.5K. Something like that. But obviously it's a Alnico magnet as opposed to a ceramic, which is what you get in the Invader. So the sound is completely different. And it's been quite a shock for the community, is when they get their hands on the guitar, they're like, this just doesn't output like the other pickups did.
No,
and, you know,
right.
And when you've come from a Dirty Fingers, which is like 17.5K.
Yeah.
It's a completely different choice, but then I guess Tom's tone choices have changed so drastically over time. It does sort of paint a picture of how he likes to sound.
Absolutely. I mean, I did always think the Invader sort of reeked a little bit of like just asking for the loudest pickup you could possibly get hold of. Because, I don't know enough to know what they recorded later albums on, but certainly when he was using those Strats live, they really did sound like too much often in comparison to, I mean, you know, come on, like their most popular record was recorded on a Les Paul, more or less, you know, with a Music Man Stingray. It was all before everything kicked off. So it's, I always felt like that Invader was maybe just a little bit too hot to actually get any sort of variation out of. I understand his need for having a pickup like that when you're in a three-piece punk band and you record, you know, 50 tracks with 50 guitars behind you and you've got to somehow replicate that live. So I understand the choice for the Invader, but the Starcaster does seem like a bit more of a, anyone could actually buy this and play this.
Yes.
This is kind of an every person's instrument.
Yeah, definitely.
His least personalized of the three, I think, maybe. Like, releasing it in the white and the gold as well. You know, those are classic colours, and it's got an air of just being a cool-looking classic guitar, as well as, you know, you can cover it in Descendant stickers and then turn it into a...
Yeah, exactly that.
So, I mean,
From my perspective, I'm a big fan of Tom, and big massive fan of Blink. But when I go and play, I don't want all my guitars covered in all that sort of stuff. That's just me. I have my own identity as a player, and I don't want to do that. I'm more than happy to help everybody that does, and I'm more than happy to, you know, I guess that's why I've studied them for what they are now. You know, so yeah, I guess like you say, the impersonal thing does have its pluses as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And and you're expanding House 95 guitars at the moment, right? You're yes. moving into some other models that are going to be outside of direct signature model versions.
Yes. Right? Yeah, yeah. So I guess it sort of came off the back of like when we spoke to yourself and a lot of other people at the guitar show. So that was our first guitar show, the one in Birmingham. And obviously it's probably one of the bigger ones across the country at the moment.
Yeah.
So... it's convenient that it's only up the road for us. So from that, we took a lot of feedback from people and sort of what they wanted and what they didn't want. So we're going to be launching our sort of own line at the guitar show next year of House 95 centric guitars. So that will be very sort of punk rock in that sense. Single pickups. We're going to try and do some like thin line Strats, Tellys and JMs, Jazzmaster style shapes, all the variants of that shapes a little bit, so that it's our own style, I guess.
Right.
And again, colours and stuff that you can't get anywhere else. So we're doing a prototype at the moment, which is like a very sort of graffiti yellow, very rounded Telecaster
right.
shape.
So there's the tummy contoured there. Is there something going on in the heel as well? Is the heel contoured or is that as it is?
No, yeah. So the heel isn't contoured, but we've got like the control is on the back. My plan with it is to sort of make it so that if you come onto the page, you want a guitar and you want it to, you know, I'm not discriminating to just the single pickup. It can be anything, but...
No, you should. You should make that your thing. You only need a humbucker in the bridge.
Well, it's... I guess that's a note of contention, is it not? Like, you know, but again, like, a lot of people say to me, like, oh, I want the control knob. Like, I like a strap position control knob, something that's super close to the humbucker, so right. I can sort of roll off, and because I play very palm-muted... sort of in that area with my hand. But then other people want the control knob like a space age away. So I want to sort of be able to offer that as well and say, like, look, within this sort of area, you can pick and you can customize. So we are doing something with the website to sort of fit around that so you can custom build to an extent as well.
That's great. So it will be kind of a limited custom shop, a custom shop with select variations within a certain thing.
Exactly. And it's we'll try and keep the prices as sort of as... mid to range as possible, because we appreciate it's going to be a custom guitar, so we're going to have a level of, you know, we're going to be doing it's all going to be made in the UK. We're all going to have, you know, it's not a small undertaking, but it's we want to be able to offer the community, regardless of whether it's House 95 or further, something that's used to call single pickup guitar or, you know, not that they can, you know, it's just something that you can't get anywhere else. Pick a color and we have lots of sort of custom colours and stuff that we do as well. So
the colours, will they be limited to a particular palette, or are you going to offer people to sort of make their suggestions?
So I guess when we do the prototypes and the stuff that we take out to the shows, we'll have those up. If you want to play them, if you want to buy them, you can pick those off if you would like to. In terms of the other stuff, if it's a colour palette, we'll offer probably 6 or 7 colours to start with, which will, like I say, it will vary, give you a variance between sort of something that's so different from what Fender or Gibson or anybody else offer. So it will be colours like, as an example, I know you'll know what I mean, is the Scully Pink.
Yeah.
It's that sort of like bubblegum pink.
Dear listener, yeah, that's, I was going to, yeah, it's lipstick pink. It's a hot lipstick pink that Mark Hoppus has his jazz bass, P bass in.
Yeah, so it's, we'll offer them in those sort of colours and things that, you know, the community are like, sort of big on, if you like. So
I see.
And then we'll do the standard, like your surf greens, your daft blues, you know, it look, that body looks great in black as well with white pearl. Because we've got like a Cabernita, custom Cabernita pick guard as well that I've been in the process of creating at the moment.
That sounds very cool. That's nice.
I'll send you some photos as soon as I've got something.
Please do. That sounds very cool. That's the sort of thing I'm into, the crossover of like of all the classic stuff now that I'm a cork sniffer with all the stuff I liked when I was younger. That's very cool. And you are doing some bass stuff as well, right? Because you did, you know, mentioning the Scully Bass, you did do one of the
Yes.
In fact, I saw you holding a body up of it the other day on a live stream, I think.
Yeah. So we did, last year we did five that we were, because I was being asked for them all the time.
Of course. They're so impossible to get hold of.
Yes.
From Fender on the secondhand market. And they're just insane prices now, as the Strat became before the reissue.
Yeah, exactly. So it was very much a case of, okay, so we made the bodies, got the bodies. So we did those in poplar, two-piece, just because the grain's really nice.
Right.
So it was just something that I thought, well, I'm not planning on having the grain through, but I like that people are going to go and play these guitars. So the idea of like,
good choice, lightweight as well, you know. So it's are you doing them nitro then?
So we're doing them. They are. Because we mix the paint ourselves, it's sort of a mix of a base colour and then like a blue and some other things. So we do them in it's a white nitro, fit like a white nitro primered underlay, if you like, just so that it goes on nice.
Uh-huh.
And then we're doing like a, the top layer isn't nitro, it's poly, but it's a very thin mixed poly because it just sits on the white and it uses a lot of the undertone of the white to create the final color.
I see.
So, and it does, like I say, I've used one a couple of times and I think that given if you were using it every day, it would start to wear nicely. Which is why I tried to do it in that way. But yeah, so we did five of those last year. And then off the bat of that, because I'd created a body that I'd done, or tested on, basically. That was the one that you probably saw on the live stream. And that one was basically, I was trying to get the paint color right, and I got it to a point where I thought, yes, this is it. Sprayed the whole thing, lacquered, finished it, and then I looked at it and I was like, no, that's not it. So then I was like, right, okay, let's start again. Started again, and then I think it was fourth or fifth time where I was like, okay, I'm happier with where that's at. And that's the ones that we shipped out in the end. And then we did custom laser cut back plates to go on them. So if whoever ordered it, if they wanted their name on or they wanted Mark's name or whatever it might be. So,
oh, that's really cool. That's very cool. Have you got plans to move into his Jaguar bass
realm?
Because of course he released one himself with Fender that was only available off of his web store, off of the Mark Hoppus web store. I know this, dear listener, because Jay Cross got one. it was great. But of course, he only did it in that same lipstick bubblegum pink finish when he released it.
So
whereas he rarely plays that particular model in that color.
No, because like Tom, Mark plays a lot of like customized painted bases from other people. So
yeah.
It's, but yeah, so he released a pink one and I think he released a daft blue one as well.
Oh, did he? Oh, I missed that.
Yes. But again, the community were up in arms with that because they just sent them out with standard Fender pickups inverted in them. They didn't send them out with Seymour Duncan quarter pounders, which is what he's used
forever.
In terms of the Jag bases, yes, it's something I am asked a lot for, and it's something that I'm in the process of doing. We've got some really nice block inlay necks as well,
right?
So we're going to go down that route. We do actually do the Scully necks as well, and we do some of the like original ones that he did, which were like, they've got like fish on them all the way up the neck. I think he used it and it was like just random, isn't it? But but yeah, so we've done a load of those as well. But the Jags are the next thing on the list. It's just getting time, you know. So I do 95 on my own. So I do have Dave, who you probably met at the show, who does some social media stuff for me as well. But all the building and stuff is down to me. So
I see. One thing we actually haven't spoken about is the price of House 95 guitars, dear listener, which is probably something we should have mentioned, because you managed to keep your sort of semi-custom shop, I guess it is, incredibly affordable. Certainly you did on the Starcasters.
So I guess because we started off doing that sort of idealistic, like I said before, like if you want a Tom DeLonge Strat but you can't afford it, here's the next best thing. That's the sort of realm that I've stayed or tried to stay in as much in as possible, because, you know, the Starcasters are something where, you know, we spend the time on it. I'll absolutely love making them because it's something a little bit different. And I think with the show, we had them up at 725 and 799, which was obviously with the inlay necks and all that sort of stuff. That's about sort of, we're not making a lot on them, but quite frankly, it's for the brand. It's for something that, you know, I'm in this because I love it, not to make any money. You know, if I make some money, that's great. But, you know, it's just more for the passion of guitars, you know.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. And is that kind of the price point that everything else is sitting at?
The Strats the new are lower. Things?
Right.
So the Strats are lower because obviously they sit, they're a little bit easier. A lot of the time we can use, you know, depending on what the customer wants. Some of them just want an off-the-shelf Squire that we can modify for them. Some people want something completely custom. But again, we can do all of that. Again, with like JM shapes and tele shape stuff as well, we can do all of that. But we do try and keep it as affordable as possible. Our own branded stuff, that like the yellow tele, like T-shape one that we just showed you, those are going to sit a little bit higher, but that's only because like, we plan on using like the Babix bridges and things like that. So we plan on stepping the quality, I guess, up to that next step on our own brand stuff.
I see. That's really interesting. I'm really excited to see where those end up. Do you know when you're sort of aiming to have things like that ready, or is it just, you know, when you get them finished at the moment?
Well, I guess I'm going to try my hardest not to put anything out before the guitar show, because I really do want to do a launch at the show. That's my plan for next year, is obviously on the 25 guitar show. I'm planning on this year, in between obviously customer builds and things like that, I'm going to do my hardest to get everything as close to done. I want to try and bring sort of two or three, maybe four models with me, and then bring them to the show, display them at the show, put them on sale, see what people think, let them play them. Because that's the biggest, that's always what I used to love growing up, was, you know, I want to go and see and hold a guitar before I commit to it. You know, a lot of us just buy them online now, but it's, you know, nothing like holding it in your hands.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that is, that pretty much brings us up to time on this very special episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. Tom, thank you very much for joining us. It's been really great to learn all about House 95 guitars and to geek out about the things that I can't really talk to the other hosts about, because I don't know anything about this stuff.
it's great to speak to you as well, man.
Absolutely. And dear listener, do check out House 95 Guitars. I think it's house95guitars.shop if you want to check out the website directly. And then it is, you're just House 95 Guitars on Instagram, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, that's it, man. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, do check them out, dear listener, because they're very, very cool indeed. I got a big octopus sticker to go on my Mark Hopper space when it's built. I've got one being built by Rigby Guitars at the moment, before I found out about that you were doing them as well. But I'm having mine done as like a hybrid of me now and me as a kid. So it will be like a heavy relic nitro aged Olympic white, you know, 7.25 inch radius, flat labella flat wounds. You know, it's going to be a real, not going to sound anything like it, but look a little bit like it. And it will have a big octopus sticker as well, which is great. but yes, thank you again, Tom, for joining us. Dear listener, we'll be back again next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Ever
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.